I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. The United States and countries around the world are slowly beginning to reopen their doors for business, despite the continuing COVID-19 pandemic. But some places along the U.S.-Mexico border never actually shut down to begin with. Under pressure from the U.S. government, many manufacturing plants, known as maquiladoras, remained open and in production during the pandemic. The Mexican government was slow to respond to the pandemic, despite more than 97,000 Mexicans testing positive for the virus and more than 10,000 deaths. And as the country reopens this week, these plants remain a virus hotspot. To help us break down why Mexico is reopening at such a critical time, we're joined by Natalie Kitroev, a New York Times correspondent who covers Mexico, Central America, and the Caribbean. Natalie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So briefly, what was Obrador's response to the pandemic?
So Mexico was slower than other countries in this region to implement social distancing measures. And in the beginning, Andrés Manuel López Obrador was encouraging people to hug each other. There was a more of a blasé attitude than in other countries. Now, Mexico has quickly realized how serious this has become, and López Obrador has allowed, you know, the health officials to really take the reins of the public response. But you are still seeing cases rise. We are not at a peak yet here. And this is a moment where this week the country officially reopened. So you're seeing the country going through some of the worst days of the pandemic at the very moment at which it is economically opening its doors.
So cases are continuing to rise in Mexico, we understand, and it's deciding to reopen anyway. I mean, we're seeing a lot of this happening even here in the United States. What's the risk here, Natalie?
Well, I mean, there's an obvious risk when you're talking about these maquiladoras near the border, where we have seen, as you said, that many of them have remained open and they have become real hotspots for contagion. You see in the state of Baja California, which is, includes Tijuana, 80% of the deaths. 80% of the deaths were maquiladora workers so far. So, these factories where folks are making hundreds of thousands of people in Mexico are making goods just for export are, risky. I mean, you have folks that are entering into massive plants where they're working closely. They're often touching the same tools. They go in and out of the same doors. And it became really dangerous here. I mean, to be clear, as you said, parts of the U.S. are doing this, and the government's justification is, look, it's not so bad everywhere, and we need to be able to open up parts of our economy. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to survive this thing economically.
Let's talk a little bit about the economics. Are these maquiladoras opening up because of economic pressure, because their biggest export basically is to the United States? Is there pressure from the United States here?
There's been a ton of pressure for weeks now. And you've had pressure from various different quarters of the United States. You've had pressure from the Pentagon. There's a lot of defense contractors here. There's a lot of companies that make, both aerospace and other military equipment. And so the Pentagon has said these are critical, but that means critical for the U.S., not critical for Mexico. The U.S. ambassador here has said, look, if you don't keep these plants open, you risk losing these jobs altogether. And that is a really scary warning here, right? Because a huge chunk of the economy in Mexico since the signing of NAFTA has been built up around supplying its northern neighbor. And losing these jobs would be a huge economic blow. And you've seen manufacturers in the United States also put pressure on Mexico, saying, our supply chains cannot function. We cannot function without you guys opening up. You see that with the car industry. I mean, a car crosses the border multiple times as it's being made. And you're seeing the codependence of the supply chains between these two countries really come to fruition right now.
What does this say about the U.S.-Mexico relationship, you know, particularly between López Obrador and the Trump administration?
Well, you know, López Obrador, in the, you know, as he was campaigning, you know, he wrote a book, you know, Oye Trump, that was kind of a, you know, supposed to be giving Trump some lessons about, you know, the Mexican experience. And he's a leftist. But since, you know, he's had the presidency, he has really sought to not create extra drama between him and President Trump. And what you're seeing right now is both that the López Obrador administration is trying to accommodate the wishes of its northern neighbor, but you're also seeing López Obrador, to be fair to him and to be fair to his officials, not just bending to U.S. pressure, but really considering what is happening inside their own country and what the economic risks are of shutting down completely. Because this is not the United States. You know, there is actually no big economic package coming for workers here. And so there needs to be some kind of lifeline, and salaries in many cases are the only lifeline available.
Talking a little bit more about the economics here, there was a huge strike wave last year in the city of Matamoros, where maquiladora workers were clashing with management. You've reported on this. You've spoken to workers in these facilities. Are they continuing to organize for better conditions despite or even, you know, during this pandemic?
The workers that I've talked to and reported on are the ones that have been organizing right now. I just arrived in Mexico, but I have spoken to more than a dozen workers who, many of whom participated in what were a wave of protests, you know, about a month ago outside of factories all along the border. And, you know, one kind of sparked the other. Folks were lining up outside their factories and demanding better protective equipment, demanding to be allowed to go home. This was really in the early days of the pandemic when you know, things were really in flux. And the workers that I talked to were terrified of going to work. And they wouldn't normally be outside of their factory. It was kind of a rare event for them to be confronting so openly their bosses and these major U.S. corporations. And it really cannot be overstated the extent of the political influence of these companies here. You know, a company like Collins Aerospace, you know, is Honeywell. These are hugely important companies, and these workers were standing outside and refusing to go inside. You know, those waves, they are continuing to push back. But now, as Mexico formally reopens, you know, on June 1st, there's less leverage there, right? Because basically, the president and the entire administration has said, here, you know, we are now open for business.
Natalie, do the workers at least have personal protective gear? This is something that a lot of businesses that are reopening, depending on where you are being mandated to provide for their employees, whether that be hand sanitizer, face masks, gloves, or face shields. Are these workers being provided with the equipment that they need to at least protect themselves if they're being forced to work anyway?
Yes, they are now. In the beginning of all of this, when I was talking to them, many of them were not being given even face masks. There was gel. There was, you know, hand sanitizer. But face masks were not universal. Now there has, you know, been a ramp up on the protective gear. I mean, I do not know whether in every factory, I mean, there are really hundreds upon hundreds of these factories, and they're not all brand names that you've heard of. And so, you know, it's not clear exactly how strictly every factory is following these guidelines, but certainly the government has made a point of saying, you know, there are protocols and these need to be followed. And, you know, we will see what happens. As we know now, these places can be really dangerous vectors of disease. So I think there's been a realization that this kind of equipment is not optional.
Natalie Katroef is a New York Times correspondent covering Mexico, Central America, and the Caribbean. Natalie, stay safe, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tanzina.